Lecture topic Salah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa bihi nasta'een wa nusalli wa nusallim ala khatamil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina wa habibina wa qudwatina wa imamina Muhammad ibn Abdillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa attabi'ina wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Yaqulullahu tabaraka wa ta'ala. أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars of deen, علماء, my dearest brothers and beloved sisters in Islam, we all know that salah is one of the pillars of deen. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, he says, As-salatu imaduddin, faman aqamaha faqad aqamaddin, waman hadamaha faqad hadamaddin. Salah is definitely one of the founding pillars of this deen. Whosoever has established it has uplifted the pillar, and whosoever has disregarded it has indeed dropped the founding pillar, destroyed it. We also know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us salah as a gift. When was this salah granted to us? We know of a major incident in the history of Islam and in the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, known as Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken to Baytul Maqdis, Al-Quds, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free the masjid from the kuffar. As we speak, this masjid where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been is being threatened and bombarded and occupied by forces of evil. Forces whose intentions are definitely on the wrong track. The minimum we can do seated here in this beautiful city of Cape Town is to make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free Masjid al-Aqsa from the occupiers. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from there up into the heavens. He was granted as a gift something known as salah. It was given to him as a gift and not as a burden. Initially, when it was given to him, how many salah were given? I'm sure we are all aware that there were 50 salah a day. And when Musa alayhi salam heard that this ummah has been prescribed 50 salawat because of his experience already with his own ummah, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go and ask for a discount, subhanallah. As we do today, when we find something very expensive, we seek discount, 5%, 10%, subhanallah. Wallahi, he continued going back and forth. Each time he went, 5 salah were reduced. From 50 to 45 to 40 to 35 until we got to 5. Wallahi, if we had it our way, we would have said, why didn't he just complete 100% discount? Subhanallah. That is our weakness. We want today commodities for free, not realizing that if you pay for something, you will utilize it better than if it were given to you for free. A motor vehicle that's yours, you know how to drive it because you know you have to pay for it. But a motor vehicle that is not yours, if you drive it correctly, as though it is your own, it is a sign of iman. But today, we drive others' vehicles in the most rough of manners. because we know it's not ours. That is a sign of weakness of iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman. So salah was given to us, 50, but reduced to 5. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses.
Inna as-salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar.
Indeed, salah itself is so powerful that it prohibits and stops a person from immorality and evil. It will stop you from committing zina and from engaging in other misconduct and immorality. And it will stop you from anything bad. That is what the Quran says. Can there be anyone who is more truthful than Allah Himself? No, He is the most truthful.
وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا.
Who can there be who is more truthful than Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, when it comes to what He has uttered and said? The words of Allah. Kalamullah is the Quran. It is known as the speech of Allah, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He says that salah is so powerful that this salah will prohibit you, the salah itself will act as a barrier between you and that which is haram, then surely we need to understand what is meant by this verse. Most of us, if we were to ask, what is meant by inna as-salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar, we would say it means the khutbah of Jummah is coming to an end. Subhanallah. That is what a lot of us think. Why? Because we hear it on a Friday near the end. Inna as-salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Subhanallah. But no, it is repeated almost every Friday in most of the masajid. And it has a very deep meaning. Today, I wish to walk with you through the avenue known as the gift of salah. We want to realize what is it we are meant to be achieving from salah. How are we supposed to be reading the salah in a manner that indeed it will come between us and haram as a shield and a barrier? Salah is free training for myself and yourselves 5 times a day to remind us how to live the rest of our lives. In salah, there are certain actions, certain deeds, certain recitations, recitals that are not there void of spirituality. They are full of spirituality. They are full of meaning if only we understand. And that is what I wish to do today in the few moments that I will be speaking to you. A reminder to yourselves and myself of this gift of salah. And then let us see how we feel. Let me start off with the adhan. The adhan is called for salah. Every salah, the muadhin will utter the words,
Hayya 'ala al-falah.
Does that not sound familiar? Subhanallah. Come to what? To success. These are the forces of goodness calling you towards goodness. Remember, in your whole life, there will be good and bad. The angels will be calling you towards goodness. The good people will be calling you towards goodness. And at the same time, there will be something in you, that qareen, that shaitan in you, will be hindering you and commanding you to go astray. When there is a bottle of alcohol, a force inside you tells you, don't drink it. Is that not correct? And sometimes when we are weak, there is a force in us that will tell us, just drink it, only this once. No one is watching you. Those are the forces of evil. When zina is to be committed, something in you tells you she's very beautiful or he's very handsome. Let me just do it this once. It's easy. I am in privacy. توارى بجدران البيوت عن الورى وأنت بعين الله لو كنت تشعر. We hide behind the walls from man, but if only we knew that that is where the eyes of Allah are. Subhanallah. When zina is to be committed, something inside you tells you, let me do it. But wallahi, a sign of iman is that when something inside you tells you, let me not do it. If you are doubting it, it's a sign of iman. If you have stopped it, forced it away, your iman is stronger. May Allah strengthen our iman. But we learn this from adhan, that for every goodness there is a call. There is strength that is required to walk to the masjid after hearing the caller call. That strength and power is meant to train you to say anything good. There will be a call from within your body telling you to go for it. And a call from within your body telling you not to do it. It is up to you now whether you are going to do it or not. If you have made yourself regular with salah, the minute you hear the muadhin, أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. If your hairs stand and you rush towards the masjid, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you to rush towards any goodness after that. And to stay away from any evil after that. Because when the caller called for the ultimate goodness, you found yourself rushing towards the house of your own creator. How then do you think that creator will treat you? Subhanallah. He will make it easy for you to stay away from bad. Wherever there is goodness to be done, you will be the first one seen there. Because you have got used 5 times a day to answering the call of goodness and fighting the force of evil that is stopping you from going to the masjid. That is free training. Imagine if we had 50 salah a day. Think of it. How many adhans would we have had? Most of our lives we would be in the masjid. Subhanallah. That is adhan. Just adhan proves to us that everything that is to be done is either good or bad. If it is good, there is always a force calling towards it and a force calling against it. We need to become regular with our salah, answering the call that we hear will make it easy for us to answer the call that we do not hear with our ears, but we feel in our hearts. Whenever there is something evil to be done, abstaining from it will become easy for us, inshallah. That is adhan. Let us move forward. After adhan, there is preparation for salah. We have wudu and so on and so forth. If I am to go into just wudu and what we are meant to be achieving from wudu, subhanallah, it will need another hour or two just to speak on wudu. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, I will recognize you, my ummah, because of the shining and the nur of the places that you have washed whilst making wudu. Today we go to the places of wudu, the mawadi in the masajid. And when we make wudu, what is happening? We don't even concentrate. We're talking to this one and that one and asking the price of something today. What are the specials in that shop and that shop? This is what is happening. In the place of wudu, not realizing, let me concentrate a little bit. My hand needs to shine. My face needs to shine. So on the day of Qiyamah, it will have a shine. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will look at me and he will say, Minni wa min ummati. This person is from me and from my ummah. So when we are making wudu, think, concentrate. What are we trying to achieve? Something grand. Let's move beyond that. We come into the masjid. We walk in with our right foot, inshallah. Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is to show us that anything good should begin with the right. Subhanallah. Then we have something known as iqamah, where the muadhin will stand and he will repeat the words of adhan. Time was given to you to come from your place wherever you were to the masjid. And now the words are repeated and he adds there,
قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Don't we hear that? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What is the meaning of قد قامت الصلاة? We are now ready for the salah. It is already almost started, as good as begun. This means we have answered your call, Ya Allah. We have answered the call of the caller. We have answered the call to prayer. We have answered the call to success. We are now standing united in one line, Subhanallah. Can I for a split moment think to myself that I have 500 rands more than the one next to me in my bank account, so I must stand one step in front of them? Can I do that? No. Can I think I am taller or bigger or smaller or shorter, so I must stand in front or at the back, or I know more, my knowledge is greater, so which means I must stand 5 centimeters in front of everyone else? This is the beauty of Islam. لا فرق بين عربي ولا عجمي ولا أبيض ولا أسود إلا بالتقوى. Subhanallah. No difference between anyone. No color, no creed, no race, nothing. Subhanallah. Besides the one who has taqwa. Taqwa will ensure that you stand in one line. You look at the person next to you. You love him solely because he or she has the same goal as yours. We are standing in one line, facing in one direction, following one Nabi, reading one Quran. Subhanallah, what is left? Our hearts need to be one. If you have hatred for the man next to you in salah, there is something wrong with your iman. He is also trying to earn the same Jannah that you are fighting for. For this reason, Islam is the sole religion that does not distinguish at all between these different elements of this dunya. We are equal. An-nasu sawasiya ka asnanil misht. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People are equal, just like the teeth of a comb. If you have 2 teeth slightly shorter than the others, or 2 slightly higher than the others, when you comb your hair, everyone will see the line. There will be something wrong. The same way, when our hearts are disunited because of this feeling within us that we are better, you will find the lines and the cracks appearing in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For any act of worship, for anything good that is to be done, preparation is required. That is what we learn from what? From the distance between adhan and iqama, subhanallah. And from iqama itself, we are now standing in a line. What does the imam say? Istawu aqimu sufufakum rahimakumullah. Today we heard, فَإِنَّ تَسْوِيَةَ الصُّفُوفِ مِنْ تَمَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. Indeed, completing the rows, ensuring that you are in one line, ensuring that your shoulders are touching one another's and that your heels are all in a straight line, is part of the completion of salah. Why? Have you ever thought of it? Why? Why do we have to complete our safs? The hadith says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at one stage used to take a sword and look down the lines. People would fear and quickly stand in line. Because, let me give you what he said. وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا فَتَخْتَلِفَ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Subhanallah. Do not be jagged, or your hearts will also be jagged. Do not disunite, or disunity will overtake the ummah at large. Today the problem in the ummah, I am a Muslim, everyone else, they are not proper Muslims. Why? Because of their color or creed or location and so on and so forth. That is the problem in the ummah today. We need to take this out. We all have weaknesses, wallah. I have weaknesses. You have weaknesses. We are all trying to rectify and mend these weaknesses. And we are trying to head to Jannah. The only way, love each other because of the shahada you share. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You share that? You share everything, subhanallah. We need to prepare anything good that is to be done, prepare for it. Then we have an imam who gets up and he stands at the front. Who is that imam? Ya ummul qawma aqra'uhum li kitabillah. فإن كانوا في القراءة سواء فأعلمهم بالسنة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. One of the more knowledgeable people, one of those who can read the Quran properly, must stand up in salah. They must lead the people. What does this mean? In any community, we need a leader. If we don't have a leader, the community will be in pieces. You need to follow someone somewhere, agree upon a leader, and unite under him. Who must he be? He must be one of the most knowledgeable from amongst you, the one who is an intellectual. At the same time, he has the most knowledge of this deen and sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Take him as your leader. If you don't have a spiritual guide, you will be led astray. You need someone above you to correct you, to tell you what to do, what not to do. Where do we learn this from? The same gift of salah. Why don't we have three imams standing together? We only have one. Because we know that when you have a president of a country, you have one. You might have a vice president, but no country in the world has two presidents or two prime ministers. There will be chaos, confusion. The Quran says,
لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا.
Subhanallah. If there were gods besides Allah, then the earth and the skies would be corrupt. Another verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if there were gods with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one would want this to happen whilst the other would not want that to happen, causing chaos. Imagine if there were two. One would say to the sun, rise, and the other would say, no, hang on, I still want to sleep. What would happen? There would be chaos. This is why we have tawheed. Tawheed fil uluhiyya. We have one Allah, one Rabb, one sustainer, cherisher, nourisher, and so on. And in salah, we have one imam. Subhanallah. For that salah, one imam. The Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, most of them came one at a time. Those who were there and happened to be two, for example, Musa alayhi salam and Shu'aib alayhi salam, were sent to different nations. Subhanallah. Not to the same. You cannot have two Nabis at the same time to the same nation unless one is declared senior to the other, like Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. There must be no confusion in this ummah. We need a leader. And until we don't have that leader, forget about upliftment in this ummah. And for that reason, there will be chaos in the ummah until Imam Mahdi comes and he becomes our sole leader. One, whatever he utters, we will run towards. Subhanallah. We learn that from where? From salah. The fact that we have an imam. Let me take you further. Then the imam says, raises his hands, Allahu Akbar, and ties his hands. Can you start before your imam? Your salah is not counted. Can you beat him? Can you say, I've got 5,000 rands more than that imam in my bank account, so now I'm allowed to start a few seconds before him? Pointless. Impossible. Unacceptable. We will follow no matter what. Follow the leader. اسمعوا وأطيعوا وإن أمر عليكم عبد حبشي. You will follow and you will obey, even if a person who used to work for you in the past becomes your own leader. Subhanallah. Even if a person whom you were above him in the past, tomorrow he is chosen as the leader, you will follow him and obey him. You have someone working for you in your workplace. Tomorrow they become the president of South Africa. Do you not fall under them? You can't come and say, this man used to work for me, so I am the boss. Never. So we will start salah after the imam. And then what happens? Everyone is silent. One person will speak at a time. Who will speak? The imam. He will read. When the imam reads, we are silent. This teaches us that in our daily affairs, when we speak, one at a time should speak. In your house, in your meetings, in your workplace, two, three cannot speak at the same time with the same voice whilst we are trying to achieve something, or you will never achieve anything. When someone is screaming, I said yesterday, let the other party keep quiet. Let them utter what they want. They will cool down. But if you go to scream with them, you now are adding fuel to the flame. We learn it from where? From Salah. The fact that one is only to read. When he ends what he is supposed to be reading, you will be granted a chance to speak. When the imam says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. There is a pause. Why? It is now your turn to say something. So we learn from that. Don't speak out of turn. Wait for your turn. When you are told to speak, you will speak. And when you speak, let's say after ضَالِّين, what do we say? Ameen. Now, if we are to utter more than Ameen, there is something wrong with our Salah. So, from this we learn, when you are given a chance to speak, get straight to the point, say what you have to, don't waste time, don't say extras, and then keep quiet once again. Subhanallah. Where do we learn this from? Salah. Look at how powerful the Salah is. And thereafter, let the leader speak again. This means in our meetings, the leader will speak. You put forward your view, and then he will speak again. Subhanallah. Where did we learn this from? Salah. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Let me take you deeper into this avenue. Subhanallah. When we are in Salah, where are our eyes focused? Tell me. We are in the house of Allah. Is there anything haram in this house of Allah? Nothing. But in Salah, can I look around and look at the ceiling and the beautiful chandeliers, mashallah, and the clock? Am I allowed to do that in Salah? What am I supposed to do? Focus where? Mawdi' as-sujood. In a certain place. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is training us for free. To say, oh my worshippers, I love you. I want you to abstain from zina. So in Salah, I will train you to control your eyesight 5 times a day. You will put your eyes only where I tell you to put them in Salah. So that when you walk out of the masjid, appreciate everything else. But the minute you see something haram, automatically, if your Salah is in order, your eyes will go straight to the ground once again. Subhanallah. But in Salah, we are caught to be looking at each other. There was a man looking at me. I was not sure whether he was in Salah or not. I put my hand up and wallahi, he put his hand up as well. Subhanallah. That is the status of our Salah today. In that case, when we see someone, we are not supposed to be looking at them. What will happen? We will look at them and continue. And when we are reminded, we will say, no, Sheikh, the first sight I'm allowed. It's still the first. I'm carrying on. I didn't leave gaze. Subhanallah. These are the arguments we are using today. Famous arguments. Why? Because our Salah is not in order. If Allah said that Salah will stop you from zina, wallahi it will stop you. If only you understood why you are looking down. Didn't you ever think that there's nothing haram in the masjid? Why am I not looking everywhere? There's nothing haram. So you look down. Subhanallah. But we look down sometimes just as a formality without realizing it is free training for your gaze. Subhanallah. Let me take you further. In Salah, can I drink water? Can I eat? Is water haram? It's not haram. But in Salah, if I drink it, my Salah is broken. Can I chew chewing gum? In Salah, no. Why? Many reasons, but today I wish to raise through this particular avenue one of the reasons. When 5 times a day you will abstain from halal food for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst you are in His house reading Salah, then definitely outside salah, you can now have that cold water and quench your thirst. But understand, anything haram, you will stay away from. Why? Now you appreciate that I can eat. But because in salah, I was granted training to control even my stomach and my taste buds, the need to fulfill them. In salah, I controlled it. So outside salah, definitely I will be able to control as well. It is control we are taught, control. Another point. In salah, are we allowed to walk freely how we want? We will place our feet where Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, wants us to place our feet, and we will stay put. Even if the imam is taking long, to stand on one leg is incorrect. We will put our feet where Allah wants us to put them 5 times a day. Surely, if you are doing that correctly, you will be trained for the entire day to only use those feet in the direction that Allah wants you to use them. So when you are walking now towards the nightclub, if your salah is in order, you won't even head in that direction. Why were you wasting your time standing in one spot when now you have disregarded any lesson that you've ever learned from that salah? But you should understand, Ya Allah, I could stand on one spot because of you to get your pleasure. So therefore, when I'm outside, you have allowed me to walk everywhere. I thank you for that. I will ensure that I will control my feet from going to places that are haram. There is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the wearing of shoes. You wear the right shoe first and then the left. When you remove the left one first and then the right. A lot of us, when we wear our shoes, we remember the sunnah. But when we take them out, we forget the sunnah. Some of the ulama have said, if you become conscious of the sunnah and you do it solely for the sake of following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will assist you in such a manner that He will create a barrier between you and walking to places that are haram. You will not use your legs to go in the direction of haram. Why? You've uplifted the sunnah of wearing your shoes correctly. Subhanallah. So not only do we learn it from salah, but even when we wear our shoes. Let's go further. In salah, how long is the first rakat and how long is the second one? We are taught that the second one should be shorter than the first. We are taught this, sunnah. And we are taught that the imam will read, we need to concentrate. Concentration. And thereafter, the imam will change his posture and position. Have you ever thought why? Quran is only read in the position of qiyam. You don't read Quran in ruku' or sujood or qa'da. Nothing. That is the word of Allah. You will stand. Thereafter, the position is changed. Why? Subhanallah. Today we have the educationalists who are coming to us and telling us that a child cannot concentrate for more than 15 minutes. He needs to change and do something else in order to increase and enhance his concentration levels. Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, prescribed that in Mi'raj already. To say, you are concentrating so deeply in the recitation of the imam. If we are to continue and only have it there, imagine if salah ended once the imam ended his first recitation and we had to now stop. How boring would it be? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now you will go to ruku'. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains this. إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَأَسْبِغِ الْوُضُوءَ ثُمَّ اسْتَقْبَلِ الْقِبْلَةَ فَكَبِّرْ ثُمَّ اقْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ ثُمَّ ارْكَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِعًا. When you want to read salah, you start off in this manner. Then you read your qira'ah. Then you go to ruku' and you make sure you have made ruku' properly. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that man is created in such a way. Listen carefully. That if you are to tell him to do one thing only, he might go berserk. If I am to tell you to peel onions all day, every day, subhanallah, what will happen to you? If I am to tell you to count the potatoes every day, from morning to evening, you would go berserk. Salah teaches you that you need a change. You need a break. 10 o'clock tea time, 1 o'clock lunch time, so on and so forth. Subhanallah. And this is why it is very important that sometimes we need to change something monotonous in our lives. We've painted our houses white. The next time, we might paint it light blue. Why? Just to break it. We use this vehicle, after some time, we feel to change it, even if we can't afford it. Our heart tells us, inshallah, one day, I'm going to change. I'll get a different color. I'll get this. Why? Man needs change. We learned it from Salah. If we did not need change, we would be in Qiyam whole day. Subhanallah. We have different subjects at schools. 35 minutes a period. Where did they get it from? Some might say, the people with brains. We will tell you, Salah teaches it to us. You learn history, you can't learn history whole day and the next day you learn science. No. The same day you learn history, 35 minutes later you learn science. After that you have a break. Then you go into mathematics. Then you go into English and something else. Why? We were in Qiyam, now we went to Ruku', subhanallah. Then when you come up from Ruku', you don't spend all day in Ruku'. Ruku' is a different position. You need to utter something in Ruku' and once you have uttered that, you come up. Sami'allahu liman hamidah. When you are up, you spend some time standing. There is a dua to be read. Rabbana lakal hamd or Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Hamdan tayyiban kathiran mubarakan fihi mil'as samawati wa mil'al ardi wa mil'a ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'd. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. That is the sunnah dua to read when you come up from ruku'. I've read the entire dua. We can read part of it. And it continues. It's further. Not only where I've stopped. There are more du'as. You are taking a rest and a break. Subhanallah. Then you go into sujood. Why is there not one sujood? Why are there two? Subhanallah. Why? And in the middle, we have a little jalsa where we rest again. We sit for a moment. We read something totally different between the two sajdas. Rabbi ghfirli warhamni, one of the du'as. Can I sit for 5 minutes between the two sajdas? Something will go wrong with my salah. I'm sitting a bit too long. I just need to rest and carry on. This shows us, even on journey, you need to break your journey, rest for a few minutes and then carry on, subhanallah. Depending on how long your journey is. It shows us something else. In life, we need rest. Where do we learn that we need rest in life from? From salah? But salah does not only teach you that you need rest. Do you want to learn more? It teaches you where to rest, when to rest, and how much to rest. If I say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen and I'm tired, can I now stop and rest there for about a minute or two? I can't. Something will be wrong with my salah. I need to know there is a time for resting between the two sajdas, or there is a time for resting when I say Sami'allahu liman hamida, a time for resting. You saw that teaches us rest in the right place. At the end of the day, don't find yourself in someone else's bed. Make sure it's yours. Subhanallah. Yes, we learn that from salah. Don't find yourself resting in the arms of someone else. Rest in the right place. We learn that from salah. Where to rest? From salah. When to rest? Subhanallah. We don't rest in the mornings. Sleep whole day. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that I have created the evening to rest, the night. The sleep in the night is the sleep that is important. Yes, if you are on journey or you are ill and so on and so forth, you can increase the hours a little bit here and there because of your condition. But generally, you rest in the evening. So much so that the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you do not have anything constructive to do after Isha, go and sleep. Wallahi, my dear parents who are seated here today, I teach you a golden rule. If you have children, the biggest thing you can ask them to do, come home on time. That's all. 99% of sin is committed after Salatul Isha. Muslims are supposed to be asleep. They will not be involved in all the discos and the nightclubs and the drugs and so on. 99% of sin is committed after Salatul Isha. What does Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us? You have nothing constructive to do, go to bed. Subhanallah. A true Muslim must get up at 3 a.m. when those who have frequented the nightclubs are coming back drunk to their homes. We are going as fresh as possible to the masjid. Subhanallah. Where do we learn this from? The timing of salah. When to rest. The doctors have confirmed that the hours, the first few hours of sleep in the night, are the most quenching of that thirst of sleep. To sleep 1 hour after Salatul Isha is as good as sleeping 5 hours during the day. The doctors have proven this. That is because Allah has created the night in order to sleep and the day to work. The Quran says it in so many places. Subhanallah. So we discussed where to sleep, when to sleep. Where did we learn that from? Salah. One more. How much to sleep? That also we learned from salah. Now I'm between the two sajdas, I'm sitting. I told you, I cannot sit for 5-10 minutes there and say, wait, I still need to go to the next sajda. No. I will rest there for a moment, utter a few words, or remain silent and go back. Subhanallah. For a little while. Because I know I am resting in the right place, at the right time. But now the quantity must also be right. Today we have a problem with our youngsters. We don't know how much to sleep. Remember, you sleep between 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours depending on your age. Subhanallah. Those who are ghair mukallaf, younger than the age of maturity, maybe they might sleep a bit more. We know babies sleep most of the day. That's their job, is to sleep at the time. But if I am to sleep 12 hours a day, I will become a cabbage. A cabbage. Allah has created the timings of salah in such a manner, and I will get to that just now. That you have to get up, whether you like it or not. You have to get up. Allah wants you to be healthy and fresh. Today we have a problem. The youngsters are getting up at 11 a.m, a lot of them. I lived in the Arab world for some time. And I thought to myself, their timings, the opening of the official places are weird. But then I realized maybe the sleeping habits have had an impact. Go in the afternoon, try and enter a bank. They will tell you, come at 5 o'clock. Here, they will tell you, we close at 5 o'clock. There, they'll open at 5. Subhanallah. It's a fact. 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, the banks are open. Amazing. So we need to know how much to rest. Do not overrest or you will become lazy. And the message here is to the youth. We have a problem in society. The youth are lazy. They don't want to work. They don't want to go out. Every community I've been to, I've seen it with my eyes. How are you going to earn? They want money on the plate. The plates are broken. Subhanallah. Why? Because we overslept. That is a problem. Sleep at night, in the right place, at the right time, the right amount. Where did you learn this from? 5 times a day, you got free training for that in salah. But because our salah is not in order, we don't even understand it. We don't understand it. If your salah is in order and you are conscious of these things, wallahi, I tell you something. Automatically, everything will fall in place. I was saying the timings of salah, fajr, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha is so perfect that if you are to stick to those timings, your whole day will be like clockwork. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You get up early morning. Wallahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to breathe the fresh air before other people breathe it. I'm telling you, it's a fact. Early morning, take 10 deep breaths outside See how you feel. Your mind is fresh. When you have read Salatul Fajr bil Jama'ati ma'al Muslimin, tell me how you feel when you walk out. Spiritually, you are on cloud 9. Wallahi. I'm telling you, when you have fought shaitan and the warmth of your bed to get out only for the sake of Allah, tell me how you feel the day when you have read that Fajr in that manner. You will be on cloud 9. You feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. It is a fact of life. Because Allah Himself is closer to you. You sacrificed. Allah does not want only your benefit of the akhirah. He wants your benefit of the dunya as well. To say, you read your salah on time, I'll give you good health. Subhanallah. I'll make you a mentally stable person. Very intellectual. I will give you that brain. You will feel it automatically. Come out. Take 10 deep breaths. Today, subhanallah, the Muslims find themselves going to non-Muslims to learn how to breathe. I'm learning breathing techniques. A'udhu billah. Have you ever read the sunnah? How did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to breathe? That is a topic on its own. His sunnah is so vast that he has taught us everything. How to look, how to eat, how to drink, how to go to the loo. If he's taught us how to go to the loo, tell me he's forgotten to teach us how to breathe. Allahu Akbar. It's just that we have ignored it. We don't know it. How should we breathe? It's in the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Come out early in the morning, take some deep breaths, beautiful breaths. Subhanallah. Engage in the dhikr of Allah. Come into the masjid. It is a different ruhaniya and spirituality in Salatul Fajr, different from Salatul Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha. These are the timings of Salah training us for our entire lives. Salatul Isha, by that time you must have finished all your work for the day. After Isha, go to bed, subhanallah. And if you want to achieve a spiritual rank, then inshallah, if you get up for tahajjud, you will find something else, subhanallah. That is Salah. I have only mentioned a few points of Salah, subhanallah. Let me mention another point that has come to my mind. In salah, are we allowed to read hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If I get up, Allahu Akbar, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, I can't do that. But is there anything wrong with hadith in general? No. It is very great. This teaches us in our lives, when you open your mouth, you must utter for the occasion what is appropriate. Even if you want to utter goodness, I am sitting talking to you, and I bring up a topic that is nowhere near the discussion here, I sound like a fool. But I must bring up something appropriate. I am in a meeting discussing something. Don't raise something else in that meeting and spoil that meeting. No. Stick to what that meeting is there and held for. Don't spoil things. Where do I learn this? In salah. Subhanallah. This is salah. Now tell me, let me repeat the verse that I read at the beginning, part of it. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Indeed, salah itself is so strong that it will stop you from immorality and evil. Tell me, if we read our salah in the correct way, will we go out and commit zina? Will we go out to the wrong places? Will we be evil with our tongues? Will we utter that out of turn? Will we find ourselves in other people's beds? Will we find ourselves doing haram? Subhanallah. So the message here is loud and clear. Perfect your salah for the sake of Allah. Concentrate in salah. Come to the masjid. Make that salah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The doors not only of the akhirah, but the doors of the dunya will open before the doors of the akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us that rank. I spoke of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Let me tell you, the Jews firmly believe that we need to keep the Muslims away from Salatul Fajr. They firmly believe it because they know, they are taught in their synagogues that the day, the number of Muslims for Fajr is the same as it is for Jumu'ah. We can forget about our entire existence. You want to solve the crisis in Palestine? Wallahi, I invite you to the house of Allah for Salatul Fajr. And inshallah, themselves, seeing our numbers in Salatul Fajr, they will tremble and crumble. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.